Welcome, welcome, welcome to Winning Hand, the podcast about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. Welcome back to our final episode of Love Month. This is episode 28. We are talking about a really cool card today. I'm excited to wrap up the discussion that we've had the last few episodes, and I hope you've been enjoying what you've listened to. If you have and you want to hear more of it, hit subscribe on whatever platform you're on or follow or whatever it is, and you'll get notified of when we post more podcasts on, you know, whether you're listening to it in audio format or you're watching us on YouTube or whatever. Maybe you're just reading a transcript on Google because you're weird. Anyway, I hope you're enjoying it. My name is Boom Guy. I'm your host. I'm here today with my two trusty lieutenants, Keiko and Lazy Titan.
Woot. Not a lieutenant, but I am here.
Before we start, I have a question for you two and all of you listening in the audience. Today's team-up card is Psychic Rapport, as everyone knows. It does not have a trait. It is not traded. Do you all know how many other team-up cards are not traded? Give me a guess.
Well, I know Miles and Gwen isn't because we did that last episode.
Yep.
I'm going to go with 4 out of 12.
7, final answer.
Okay, you're both wrong. It's 7. So I didn't hear anybody say 7. So
I said 7, final answer.
Yeah, you're both immediately wrong.
Okay, let's get it on track.
Sorry,
here, okay?
I think you're muted.
Was always right. All right, I think I was definitely right.
Sorry, this static, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. Anyway, we will move on into our discussion today. So today's discussion is about team-up cards again. But here's kind of what I want to talk about. The previous three episodes, we talked about different aspects of team-up cards. And so what I want to ask you all today and kind of talk about is our biggest wish for team-up cards in the future. I think this is a card type that's not going away. I think, in fact, it has increased. The waves we've gotten with X-Men and X-Force have only increased how many team-up cards are in the game. It's much more frequent. It feels like almost every hero these days. So what do you guys want to see out of these in the future? Keiko, why don't you go first? You're like the newest person to Champions. Why don't you go first?
First off, I'd like to see less X-Men or X-Men adjacent team-up cards. Nothing against them. It's just with every release, we've pretty much been seeing a team-up card. I can't remember really a lot before them. And then I think an overhaul in general to the team-up cards that already exist, right? We've had a lot of discussions these past few episodes. I really like what we've been throwing around. And I'd like to see those past team-up cards be reworked. And that doesn't necessarily mean we get rid of the old ones, right? It's just, as we mentioned before, they're just additions to the card pool. You can still have the original ones that do their generic abilities, whatever. But maybe you circle back to them, tailor them so that they kind of relate more to the pair-up specifically. Maybe they just give you more bang for the buck. Just something to rework them. I like our discussion last episode where we talked about maybe having them in different aspects. Maybe each team-up card has its own aspect as well. So not only do you have the basic versions, but you have any of the other aspect versions to play with them. So that would be something I'd like to see with that. And that trend could just keep going with newer team-up cards from there.
Yeah, I think to your point about not remembering much for the X-Men, I feel like we've had so many X-Men and X-Men adjacent characters, I can barely remember a time before X-Men anymore. Not just team-up cards, but any of the game. It's been a long wave for those of us who aren't like diehard X-Men fans. But yeah, I think what you said is right. I would like to see more of them. Like, that's just my biggest wish, right? Fantasy Flight, if you're listening, and I know that you are, I'd like to see more team-up cards. I would like to see, why not promo cards? Like, we got promo cards for every hero in the last couple cycles. Why not give us some full art or like variant art team-up cards? That seems like a cool idea. And why not go back and release them for the older cycles? That was one of the things I wanted to ask about too. Like, why can't we go back and have a Captain America and Iron Man team-up? Why can't we go back and have, you know, Peter Parker and Miles Morales? Why can't we go back and have some of those? Or new ones of Ant-Man and Wasp, like you said, rework some of them. You know, you could do booster packs in the way they did, you know, booster packs, not like randomized selling booster packs. I don't want to go down that road, but the way they did the promo cards where you would get a pack of them and at an OP event, You could do something like that to give you, you know, a couple random cards. And, you know, they're kind of weird cards. I think they, you know, obviously should try to balance them, but they're, if they're a little wacky, like whatever, they're kind of a weird card. So I'd like to see them get a little crazy and try some weird stuff. What about you, Lazy Titan?
Personally, I want to see them go off the rails. I want to see them become unhinged, crazed, deranged even. I want to see some cards that are more outside the mold of what these cards do. Like last episode, we talked about Young Love, which my main gripe with it was that it's an alter ego action. So you're just doubling up on what the card already wants to do or what the game wants you to do. So when you flip to alter ego, generally you're going to be healing because you have your recover stat rather than the other ones. And just adding on more healing to your healing is sometimes good, but not usually when you have 9 hit points because it seems like too much. But if it was a hero action, so you could do healing in hero form, which is much rarer, that would be a cool card. Or like if Gambit and Rogues, Beauty and the Thief was 2 costs for 4 damage, 4 thwart in alter ego form or something like that. So like just little things like that, but also I want to see them do crazy stuff. I want to see upgrades. I want to see supports. I want to see allies. I want to see stuff that's out of aspect. I want to see stuff that's out of form. So if it feels like an alter ego thing, it does it in hero form. Switch it up. Like just like they're so hard to do and they're so infrequently played that might as well make them crazy. Make them like interesting to use, at least interesting to like think about as a concept. And then if that card is lame, we can at least build off that for something like an actual aspect card later, because they feel almost like separate from the rest of the game. They're not even like real cards almost, because you never get to play them. So if you make them cool, if you make them interesting, then maybe I'll play Wasp so I can play her card. I never play Wasp, but if someone's playing Ant-Man and like I know our team up card is cool, maybe I'll play Wasp to like make it work just because I want to try. Like I want to be incentivized to play these cards and I want them to be interesting when they do. I don't want them to just be like 2 costs, do some damage. Like I want them to be like very interesting. I want to be impressed when I read these cards and see the kind of things they can come up with.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think, why can't we have more of them in the pool aspect, which is, I think everyone agrees at this point, kind of a joke. Why don't we just have some crazy ones that just do weird stuff? You know, I think the pool aspect, if it sticks around, and I expect it to based on what Fantasy Flight has said, I think that should be the aspect of just like weird cards and just crazy stuff that maybe didn't make the final cut for some of these hero packs or ideas that got left on the cutting room floor. Let's just like try some weird stuff, whatever. No one takes the pool aspect seriously anyway, and everyone's kind of over it within a few weeks of playing it. Why don't we just do some weird team up cards with the Deadpool aspect? I just think, I don't know. I'm with you though, Lazy Titan. I think let's do upgrades. Let's do resource generators. Let's mess with the victory display. Let's just do weird stuff that you can't do with other cards because it's so hard to play these anyway. Let's have some fun.
They can't break the game. Like they're so hard to pull off and you only get one in your deck. Like you can't build a game breaking thing out of this unless you're maybe playing Rogue because she has that one superpower adaptation card. But like even then, we're pushing it. Like if they break it, sure, whatever, who cares? But like just I want this to be wild. I want them to be putting minions into the victory display. I want them to be putting side schemes in your own deck. I don't know, to do something that's like wild, something that like makes me like, wow, it's quite a card. I don't know if it's good, but I'm gonna try it. I want to feel interested when I read these cards. Every time I find one in a pack and like a hero pack, I'm like, oh cool, that's like some damage, I guess I'll not do that, and then I put it in a box and never use it. It's just like not as exciting as I'd like it to be.
Yeah, and there's so many ideas that, you know, just kind of got left by the wayside with the campaign cards too. Every campaign comes with a whole set of campaign cards and, you know, they're balanced for that campaign or they aren't. And some of them are weird and some of them are bad and some of them are good, but there's so many cool ideas in those that don't always make it to the game. I don't know. I'm with you. I think these are hard to pull off. They should be really fun and they should feel like, 10 out of 10 fun. When it's in your hand, you should be so hyped to play it if you can actually hit all the criteria, and you should be like jazzed to slap this thing down and do whatever wacky thing it does. And everyone at the table should be like waiting and excited about it. Instead, it's like, oh, I'll flip to alter ego so I can heal myself for 3 and also heal you for 3. I don't know. Like, I just can't get excited about Young Love, you know, and that's last episode's card. So we don't need to go into that. But just as an example, right? Same thing with the Swarm Tactics. Like, yeah, it's good to switch form for Ant-Man, but it's not great for Wasp. It's okay. So maybe this shows how naive I am about game design. I don't think you can break the game with a single card that you can only have one copy of and that requires multiple other pieces in play. It would have to be so incredibly powerful to break the game, but it's just very hard to build around that combo. So I think, why not just let them, you know, I said earlier, let's make them all cheap. Like, as a rule, let's make them cheaper. Let's make them crazier. I think they should just be a little off the wall.
The other thing, too, is even if they still don't get played, like, no harm, no foul, they weren't really getting played anyway. So they're just additional, right, you know, options for your gameplay.
They're already not super popular. And I think one card can do things. Like, we have Gopher Champions. That card's single use. It's insane. But this is a cooperative game. You can't really break a cooperative game, like, really, because you can just not play cards. You're playing cooperative, who cares? Like, if they make a team up card for Cap and Iron Man and it's absolutely ridiculous, it's four costs and it just, like, almost always kills the villain in one shot, like, who cares? Like, just don't play it. Like, you fully have the choice to just not. And then if it is cool and it's, like, a really fun mechanic and it's like makes those heroes more popular, then great. There's no downside, I don't see, to making them wacky and maybe really powerful.
And you mentioned Gopher Champions. Gopher Champions has been errated now so that when it's played, it's removed from the game. Why can't we just do that with team-up cards? What if when they're played, they go in the victory display or they're removed from the game after one play? Like, make them crazy and then they go out of the game. You know, I don't know. I think the Gopher Champions example is good. That actually could have been a team-up card, right? Like, if there's two champions or you control two champions, play this card. And that's cool. It's great. And then it goes out of play once, you know, like, that's a dope team up card. So I'm with you.
I guess maybe to add, I kind of threw this out there as a suggestion for the Ant-Man Wasp team up card, but maybe team up cards have their own separate deck almost, you know, and that's the trigger effect is, hey, you got these extra cards that go into play after this team up card triggers it. Like with Ant-Man and Wasp, I threw out, they have different ant allies based on the type of ant that they are, you know. Maybe that's just the gimmick of team up cards if we're going the wild route.
Make them wild, who cares?
Yeah, that's it. Almost makes me think of what you just mentioned, kind of makes me think of the specialized training card, the player side scheme, and that has these other cards out of play that when you clear the specialized training side scheme, then you pick one of these linked cards and you put it into play under your own control. So you get something like that where it could be a player side scheme. Why can't there be a player side scheme that is a team up card, right? It can only be put into play if these two characters are in play. Or it's a card, like you said, that when it's defeated, you pick one of these stack of cards and put it into play under your control. This is yours now. So I think those are good ideas. I just think they need to think bigger with these, because I think as a rule, generally, they are very restrained with the game. They make sure to limit things. They make sure you can't have these game-breaking combos. It feels like it's all kind of under control, and I like that. I think it's really good for the game, and the designers are killing it in that aspect. But I think this is one of those instances where they could just take the brakes off and just kind of throttle up and let's see what we can do. You know, like, let's just do something weird.
And if it does work, if they make one of those crazy cards and it ends up working, just then that's a concept you can use for a card later. They make a card that does something insane and then they're like, wow, that actually didn't really break the game very much. We could probably adapt that into a real card. Then that's free ideas they've given themselves. We keep talking about this forever. I don't think there's a downside. I think just go wild with it.
Yep, they already created a whole new aspect that I haven't even touched yet. I mean, why not just go ham with this?
Yeah, I agree. This could be something they could really lean into and just explore. So I hope they do. Based on past history, I don't see it happening, but, you know, maybe it will. All right. We got a question in our email, winninghandpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us a question, please do send us a question there or hit me up on Discord. I'm Boomguy on Discord, or you can hit us up on Reddit or Instagram. Just Google Winning Hand Podcast on whatever platform you'll find us. Leave us a comment on YouTube, whatever. But send us a question and we like hearing them. Today's question is from Solo Papa on Discord. He says, hey guys, love the show. Since the game came out, have you consistently been playing it or do you take breaks between releases? Also, do you play any other games? What do you guys have to say?
I definitely played more when I was able to regularly play with you guys, for example, or my local game group before I had moved recently, playing on my own just isn't as fun. I play enough to kind of keep up with the episodes, right? Because I want to stay present. I want to be able to present when I can, but I don't play as often because it's not as fun when it's just me. And there are things that exist like Tabletop Simulator, but playing online just isn't the same as it is just playing in person, right? So for me, it's kind of dwindling, short answer.
To build off of what Keiko was just saying, this is like a little peek behind the curtain. We all used to live in the same place and go to the game group together and play regularly. And since the podcast began, real life has taken us in different places, and we all live in different places now that are not close at all. So we don't have as much time in person anymore. So I think I will say I also play less. You know, I moved away from my old game group, so they met consistently. I don't play as often as I used to, and most of my plays these days are solo, which is not my preferred way to play. And I'm glad there are tools out there like Dragon Cards and TTS and other ways that people can play. That's great. But it does not replace for me, like you, Keiko, doesn't replace playing in person. And that's my preferred way to play. You know, I get a lot of the social aspect of gaming and sitting around a table and talking to each other. And most of my life is on a computer, you know, work and everything else. And so it's really nice for me to hold cards and like play with tokens. And that's like that tactile experience is a big part of it for me. But the question more to the point was, have we played consistently or do we take breaks between releases? I don't find that my time with the game goes up or down based on how close we are to a release. I may be different from other people. I think I mentioned in previous episodes that I generally don't immediately go to the new heroes because I consume a fair bit of media and content about the game. And when the new heroes come out, for example, that's all you see for a few weeks or a month is everyone's playing Deadpool and Psylocke, or everyone's playing, you know, whoever the latest release is. And so I feel less urge to play it myself because it's all I see. Also, I just have kind of a weird personality where the newest thing doesn't appeal to me all the time. So I usually get all the new stuff and sleeve it, and I'm aware of all of it. And then I'm always a little bit behind on playing stuff. But that's just me. I'm idiosyncratic and weird, but when things release doesn't really impact how much I play. I play, you know, when I can. I play when people are available. I play when I feel like it. And so that's kind of me. What about you, Lazy Titan?
I would say I follow a pretty similar pattern. I don't usually play more or less because of the way Marvel Champions is working. Recently, I haven't been able to play as much because of just how my life has been going, but not anything to do with Marvel Champions. So I wouldn't say my schedule of play is tied in any way to the releases. If there's a new release, I'll probably play those new heroes. If there's not, I'll play an old hero. There's plenty of ones that I like, and I'll play when I can. I have, at this point, already made my bed. I will never play solo. At this point, it's what it is. I've said it a couple times on the podcast. It's just not going to happen. If I don't have anyone to play with, I'm just not going to play, which is unfortunate. But sort of leaning into the other half of his question, I do have other games that I play. I've mentioned before, I'm a big Magic player. That's one of my other games that I enjoy quite a lot. So if I'm alone, I will work on Magic stuff or I will do something else. Marvel Champions to me is a multiplayer game. It's for 2 to 4 players and it's best at 2, but that's where I love the game and I would rather not taint it, I guess, with like playing solo because I know that won't be as fun. And also I'd rather, if I'm going to play solo, I have plenty of other things I can do that I enjoy just as much. And I'll just save my enjoyment of Marvel Champions for when I can play it at its best, at its core, at its synthesis, the perfect play group of 2 to 3, 4 if you're at the con, really.
Yeah, I think, well, that kind of bridges nicely into the second part of the question that Solo Papa sent us is that, you know, do we play other games? And, you know, Lazy Titan touched on it. He is a big Magic player. I'm not. I bounced off Magic pretty hard. The collecting aspect doesn't really do it for me, and I didn't like the game as much. I play, I think like a lot of people who play Marvel Champions, I play a fair bit of the Lord of the Rings LCG, and I also play Arkham Horror, the LCG. I just recently got into Earthborn Rangers, So if you're an Earthbound Rangers player, hit me up on Discord. Still new to that one. And then originally I just came from kind of board gaming more broadly. So I'm on BGG a lot. I have a fairly, I would say, extensive board game collection. Maybe not to board game collectors, but the average person that I meet who doesn't play board games is always shocked at the number of games that I own. But yeah, so I play a lot of different stuff with different people, and I find that different people like to play different stuff with me. So I like them all, but you know, some people in my life really like Arkham Horror, some people really like Marvel Champions, other people really like, I don't know, Wingspan or Castles of Burgundy or whatever. So I play a lot of games, and I find, as I mentioned with Marvel, the social aspect of gaming is big for me. I really like sitting around a table and enjoying company and rolling dice or playing cards or whatever, and just having a good time and unplugging from most of my life, which is on the internet or on a computer screen.
It's still kind of a hard question for me to answer because I joined a little before the X-Men wave started, and I am just not into the X-Men or X-Men adjacent characters. So the frequency at which I played as releases come out hasn't really changed ever. Like, even I think the most excited I have been, I guess, has been X-23 Deadpool. But as the Deadpool cards came out and I started reading them, I kind of lost interest. X-23, I only just played finally. So yeah, it's kind of hard for me to answer that question because I came in a little late in a wave of characters that I didn't really care for.
Yeah. Well, but I think, and I do get some feedback on the podcast, that people like your point of view as a newer player, as someone who's a little bit less experienced. I think there's a lot of people who listen to these podcasts who aren't as well-versed or as knee-deep in everything as I am or Lazy Titan is. So your perspective, often people tell me, is very valuable. Do you play any other games, Keiko?
I'm more of a video gamer than anything. I play a lot of narrative-driven PlayStation games. As far as other living card games, not really. I've tried out Lord of the Rings a couple of times.
Yeah, we've played a few times.
Yeah. Couldn't really get into it. I really need to be with a group for that one for sure.
Yeah.
But now, as far as other board games, they're a little more mellow, you know, like Sushi Go or Codenames or Cascadia.
Yeah, but, all that's great.
Yep. But no, that's pretty much, I'm the video gamer.
I don't play as many video games anymore, but I have played video games. Yeah, well, that's a little peek behind the curtain. So, Solo Papa, you get some more information about us that's not necessarily related to Marvel Champions, but hopefully that answered your question. Again, if anybody has a question about really anything, feel free to send it in. winninghandpodcast@gmail.com is a great place. Otherwise, leave a comment on Instagram or on YouTube, or, you know, send me a DM on Discord. I'm on there fairly regularly in one of the communities. And just say hi or ask a question or whatever. It's always nice to hear from people.
And I'll release Boom Guy's phone number at the end of this episode, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm just going to get doxxed at the end of the episode, so you know all my personal information.
Venmo me $5 and you'll get Keiko's social.
I'll give it for free.
Pictures of his house. Okay, so let's transition to the card of the day, which is Psychic Rapport, as we've talked about. I'll read the card today. I don't usually read the card. So today's card is a 2-cost basic event called Psychic Rapport. It is a team ups with Cyclops and Phoenix. It has no trait. It is limited to one per deck. It has a hero action. Ready Cyclops and Phoenix. Choose to either return a Cyclops card from your discard pile to your hand or place 2 power counters on Phoenix Force. And it is a lightning resource or energy resource, and it's basic. It has custom art from Simone Buonfentino and Javier Mena Guerrero. If you listen to this podcast and I got your name wrong, I'm really sorry. If you listen to the podcast, please send me an email, though. I would love to have you on the show to talk about your art.
After you give us a 1-star review.
Yeah, no, wow. No way. 5-star only. So this came in the Cyclops Hero Pack and in the Phoenix Hero Pack, 1 copy each. So 2 copies of this card exist. And, I mean, we talked a little bit before the show started. And Keiko, I think your first reaction was, wow. What was your first reaction to?
Well, just the overall detail and the framing and everything. And that was just at the immediate glance of looking at the photo itself. before I saw that it was custom art. And that was something I think we pointed out in the first episode of this series, was how much these team-up cards would benefit from custom art. I mean, some of them worked, right? Like Beauty and the Thief worked. But I think having specifically tailored art would just be a huge strength.
I agree. And this art is incredible. I think I really, really love this art. And I don't know, you know, I don't know a ton about art. So I don't know if that's because it was designed for the card. And so, you know, the artists could make something that speaks to the essence of the card, or just make something that kind of fits the format of half a card. And so it, being designed for it, made it better somehow. But I really, really like it. Lazy Titan, why don't you describe it? What are we looking at here?
Now, I will say, I am not as big of a fan of this card as my co-hosts are.
Because it's an audio medium. Right?
I will describe this quite excellent drawing. So basically, we're looking at sort of Cyclops and Jean Grey holding hands. Cyclops is blasting lasers off to the left side of the card. Jean Grey is doing some psychic thing, focusing. There's some like purple sparkles around her head because she's clearly thunking very hard. And they're standing on some sort of platform, power station, some kind of metal structure on the moon, it looks like, because you can see the Earth in the background and sort of off into space. And then there on the right side, there is some kind of like alien Mount Rushmore. Don't know what that's about, but it's there. And then you can see the Earth and space and all in the background. I think what you said is true about this card. I think the fact that it's custom makes it seem less like it got cut off. A lot of the cards can seem like they just got like cut weirdly and they look wrong. I think this one fits the frame very well. I still don't love it. I don't know what it is about it though, but it fits the frame very well, which is nice. Some of those cards get cut off, but I'm definitely not as high on this art as you guys are.
Let me just jump in, because I think one of the things you mentioned is really, really interesting. As you were describing, you mentioned there was an alien Mount Rushmore, which is, if you're listening and can't see the card, maybe it doesn't make a ton of sense to you, but as I'm looking at the card, that's funny and does make sense. But generally, when you're looking at a frame like this and it's from a comic, right, there's a story that has gone in before and after, and there's context with the image of like why they're in this place, what they're doing. What I think is really interesting is that these people made a custom piece of art for this card, and they included a bunch of details that I don't know what they are. They're not like obvious to me. So why are they not on Earth? I don't know. What is the alien Mount Rushmore? I have no idea. What are these little silver cylinders behind them? Why does it look like they're standing on a castle? I have so many questions that they obviously thought through for this piece of art.
I think the thing that wins me over is just the overall framing and composition just works for it, right? Because when it's not custom art, they have to sift through a bunch of different comics, a bunch of different panels to find what's the right fit for this card, for its theme, for its text. And sometimes framing could get cut. Sometimes there's no detailed backgrounds. I mean, not that that's mandatory, right? But it helps kind of ground them somewhat. Sometimes it doesn't quite hit because the art that they chose, while it might be fitting, just didn't really quite cut it when it got into printing it onto the card. But when it's custom art, they're able to have free rein with what exactly they're trying to convey. And having the two of them hold hands, using their powers in this detailed background, kind of grounds them in that environment. I agree. I'm also confused on where they're at, why they're there, and what everything is. But at least they're in a world and they're in it together.
I think their bodies are, it's very symmetrical, right? We have a lot of balance. Their hands are holding in the middle. They're both leaning away. They're both looking away, and their opposite arm is kind of raised. Their hips and legs, everything is very symmetrical, like with the middle part being their hands. And I think, you know, like what you said is right. When it's not custom art, they're just taking a picture and they're cropping it, right? And they may be cutting some of the intent that the original artist put in, some of the detail that was put in. It's not designed for that. So you do lose a little bit. Now, with that said, I think they've done a pretty good job. And a lot of the art in this game is really, really good, even if it's not custom. Some of them miss. I think last episode we had one that was an example of a miss for all of us. But I think this is great. I love the brightness of his optical beam and the brightness of whatever they're using to kind of signify her, like telepathic energy, the pink. The colors are really great and the detail. So I think this is really, really great.
I want to know, for all you trivia nerds out there and for the artists themselves, why did the artists feel the need to put a random Space Mountain face on this card? What does it have to do with them? What does it have to do with anything? I will say I'm completely ignorant on anything X-Men. I don't know a lot about them, but I want to know.
Yeah, this may be significant to the X-Men for some reason, right? Like, we've all kind of said over and over again, we're not big X-Men people. This may be something that X-Men aficionados would immediately recognize, like, oh, that's whatever, Starkiller base or something. I think that's a Star Wars reference. Anyway, you know, they may see that mountain and be like, oh yeah, that's blah, blah, blah. So if that's the case, please let me know. Hit me up, hit any of us up, send us an email, explain it to me, because I don't get it and I'm not going to Google it. But the art for me is great. I think it's awesome. So what about the thematic element of this card? You're ready, Cyclops and Phoenix. You choose one of the two things. Either return a Cyclops card from your discard pile to your hand, which is what he kind of wants to do, right, throughout his game, or put two power counters on Phoenix Force. And using and placing counters is kind of what she wants to do as well, her hero deck. So how thematic does this feel to the team up?
I think as far as team up cards go, this is one of the more mechanically thematic cards we've seen. This does a little bit of what everyone wants. The ready, I think, is kind of a cop out for any card that they make that's just like ready your hero. Like I think unless it's got sort of a design towards an archetype in the game, like if it's a protection card, sure. But just making a team of card just ready you for most heroes is almost irrelevant. I just don't think that's super helpful. It can be all right, but I prefer a little bit more from that, a little bit more creativity from that. But like you said, the Recyclops wants to come back, bring both things back from his discard pile, and Phoenix wants to be messing with her counters. I will say I wish this card did both. I wish you didn't have to pick. But I think thematically, mechanically, it fits with how these characters want to be playing. So at least you're getting something specific to the characters that's a benefit, as well as a blanket benefit for everyone. I think that's a good mechanical design.
Yeah, this is like maybe baseline level of what I'd like to see in a team up card, is being able to play with the characters that are in question. And maybe that's the benefit of this being one of the later released team up cards, so they're able to play in that more. They kind of found their groove in that. But no, I do like the amount of stuff that's going on there. But as far as how it connects with psychic rapport, I mean, thematically with that theme or that that text, I mean, I don't know. Phoenix's ability is kind of that psychic aspect of it, but
I think you can definitely see a little maturation of team up cards that we've looked at, right? We've looked at one of the very first ones, maybe the very first one, in Swarm Tactics. Young Love was pretty early on as well, and these two X-Men ones are a little bit later. I think you're seeing a little better design in some of them. I am with Lazy Titan on this. I wish you didn't have to choose. I mean, it's maybe irrelevant if you're playing solo or just using the ally and one of the heroes. But if both heroes are in play, I really feel like you should get both of them.
Yeah, both should get the benefit from it.
Yeah,
as a team up card.
Exactly. I think it's kind of lame, I don't know, that you don't, especially for two cost, which feels high for a team up card. I have been on record saying I think they should all be cheaper, because cheaper just feels better, and you have so many things to set up to get to this point that you should get a little break on cost. I don't know. I guess it is mechanically thematic. I don't know a ton about the characters to be able to speak to how thematic, you know, Cyclops's recycling cards is. Maybe that's, you know, thematic to the character. But speaking to the mechanics of how they play, I do think this is pretty thematic. Like, it does what they want it to do, right? It's better, in my view, than the Beauty and the Thief one we talked about, which was just generically thwarting and attacking. This is more directly tied into exactly what they do as heroes.
I will say also, as far as theme goes, I don't really know what psychic rapport really means. Like, I know what rapport means and I know what psychic means, but I don't know in the context of this where that's going. So I can't really rate that as far as these two characters.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
It just looks like they're like two superheroes who are in love, which I guess they are, but I don't really see the psychic part of this or the rapport part of it, to be honest. I guess that's the relationship they have. The psychic part, I guess she has pink stuff around her head. I don't see how she, in this image, we don't give enough context on how she's helping. We see her thinking really hard about something, and we see Cyclops actively incinerating people. We actually don't see him hitting anything. He's shooting a laser beam, which could incinerate someone. She's, I assuming, hurting somebody or doing something.
She's got like a headache or something.
She just needs some NyQuil.
She's like holding her head.
I feel like we could get some context. Like, I feel like I almost want this camera in this shot to be turned 180 degrees around from behind them as we're watching them do something. Like, I want to see Jean Grey like picking up, throwing sentinels around and him like chopping one in half with a laser or something. Like, I want to see them doing something, whereas we're just seeing like the moon and that weird face in the background and them like clearly doing something. It's clearly working hard, but they could be doing nothing. I don't know.
That would be a cool framing.
Maybe that's just a nonsense gripe for me, but I think this card's theme is, it's pretty solid. I think mechanically it gets it there. I think like thematically, like as far as the X-Men, I don't know enough about them to really say, but I don't feel anything especially. So I don't think it's the most excellent it could be.
I'm going to disagree on the camera turning point you made. I think it's good here. The focus is on them. I think if the focus was turned and you were looking from behind them, the focus would be on what they're doing. I like the focus more on them. I think that shows the bond of the two of them. And, you know, they're holding hands. There's all kinds of love and blah, blah, blah. The psychic rapport, the name, I don't know, maybe that's a reference to something in the comics. Maybe that is a well-known term or thing in X-Men lore. I can't speak to that. I agree with you. I don't really know what that means. You know, that's like not a phrase that anyone would ever use outside of them. What do we think about the power of this card and the fun of this card? We kind of usually condense those into one. I guess I'll go first. I don't know. It feels like for two cost, you only get to choose one of them. You get a ready, which is decent. You know, Phoenix has three in a stat. Either she starts with thwarting or she can become unleashed and have three attack. So that ready could be pretty valuable. Cyclops, I think, is a 2/1/2. So again, he's got two thwart, which is decent. Like, you could ready and thwart again, but neither of them, I guess maybe not neither, a three thwart base stat means you're using that basic ability fairly often. I don't think of Cyclops as a hero who readies a lot. And I say that as a big Cyclops fan in the game. He's definitely one of my favorite heroes. He's my favorite X-Men easily. So the ready thing is nice. Like, it does thwart or attack a little bit, but it doesn't do a ton. And I think it just kind of feels like we're just adding things in and doesn't provide a ton of value. I hate that we have to choose one for two cost.
This should be a one cost card.
I agree.
This would be good as a one cost card. I think it could be one cost and you still wouldn't have to choose. And I think it'd be fine. Like we talked about, like, these cards could be insane and they would never get played because, like, it doesn't matter. And
you just make a new
rule.
You
can only play them once. Just make a new rule where you play them once and then they get out of the game and then make these cards ridiculous. Like, that's fun. I think you should be able to do both. I see no realistic reason why you don't, other than, I guess, nerfing it. But it's a good card, but it's not great.
Another thing to point out too, which I don't think we have up until this point, is say that you have two players playing as these two heroes. Readying really wouldn't be that useful unless, like, one of you has a turn left to go, you know? But if somebody already had their turn, like, what's the point of them readying? They're already going to ready at the end of the player phase anyway.
That's a great point. If they've already taken their turn, you can't take a basic action out of turn. So it's really a useless thing.
Yeah, so it's just another part of that grueling setup for two people that are playing these different heroes, is you kind of got to plan ahead, like, oh, let me defend so that you can play that card and ready. It's just another step that kind of hurts it more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go on a limb here and say if this card costs zero, it wouldn't be crazy.
Or at most one. Yeah, but two is way too much. That is never going to be seen.
I think that they overestimate the value of a ready. I think they think that a ready is the same for everybody. A ready is not the same. For most heroes, a ready is 2 thwart or 2 damage. There are very few heroes where a ready is like going to be big, and it's like X23, Drax, or any similar sort of build. Maybe Wolverine, like that kind of build where you're using a lot of basic attack is the only time it really ever matters. Or maybe Jean Grey is one of the exceptions because he's got 3 thwart. So that's something. So then Rocket falls in there too. So if you have 3 thwart, or if you have like 4 to 6 attack is really where that becomes valuable, because 2 cost for ready on 2 people even is fine, like sure. But if it's, that's why the limitless stamina is so good, because it works with Drax, who becomes then unstoppable with that. It's, yeah, I think they overvalue what that is, but I think that maybe isn't a bad thing, because that's what makes the characters who can use it so good. It's because they like overvalue that, and then the cards have so many restrictions that like the few heroes that get to use it means that they like can perfect it. It's like that card, Overwing or Limitless Stamina, is like a lot of limits on a card, but it's really good. And then when you play it in the one hero it works in, Drax, you like go crazy. X-23 can't play that card. So I think the restrictions of it add to a more diverse set of heroes, which I think helps, but I still wish that they would not just slap it on every card, assuming it'll make it good.
I play a fair bit of Cyclops, so I think about this card from that point of view. So to kind of underscore what we're talking about, if I have this in my hand and there's no other player that's playing Phoenix, so we're just using my hero and the ally, my signature ally. I exhaust myself for whatever reason, either I defended or I recovered last turn or whatever. I play this card to ready myself, which is going to give me 2 thwart or 1 attack, and then I will get to put a Cyclops card back in my hand, and it has to be a very cheap one because I've already spent 3 cards from my hand to play this, right? I've lost the card and 2 other cards. So that kind of limits how useful it is to put a card into my hand. And then I've readied myself to, I don't know, again, do 1 damage or 2 thwart. Like, that's not super impactful for me. And I've readied my ally. I guess that's cool. I don't know. It just feels like if you break down the math, and again, I'm said before, I'm not a big math player. I kind of play by gut. I play what I think is fun. I don't math it out and play the efficiency puzzle. So maybe that makes me a bad player. I don't know. But if you look at this, it's like, if I break down all those numbers, yeah, maybe I'm technically getting value for a ready and I'm getting the correct value of damage versus thwart and 1.5 efficiency, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's all true, but it doesn't feel amazing to me, someone who's not doing math homework during the game. Like, I don't feel like, wow, I'm so glad I have Psychic Rapport in my hand. It's like, I could probably play something better, which means it probably won't go on my deck.
I haven't really played either of these characters, so it's hard for me to speak on the power, but maybe that'll help in kind of asking for explanations for viewers who also maybe not played. So going through this, right, you ready the both of them, and then you choose to either return a Cyclops card from your discard to your hand, which, as you pointed out, Boomer, like, you might have already spent your hand at that point, or part of your hand, like, so pulling it from the discard pile, maybe it should have went right into play, I don't know, but the other option is to place 2 power counters on Phoenix Force. What does that even entail? I don't know anything about Phoenix, so what's
she that gets option? Resources. So basically the way it works is she has an upgrade called Phoenix Force. When it has counters on it, she is restrained, and that means she has 3 thwart and 1 attack, and her obligation isn't that bad. It just means it's like kind of not great. And then when you get, once you remove all the, so you can spend the counters as resources. And once you run out of counters, she becomes unleashed. And then she gets 3 attack and 1 thwart. She switches those and then still has 2 defense. And then all of her cards get better. But as soon as you pull her obligation, it pulls out Dark Phoenix, which is like probably the nastiest nemesis ally in the game. She's got like toughness, retaliate, 12 health. She's a 2-2, like it's crazy. And then, so it's a little bit of like risk reward. So if you're in, if you keep a lot of charge counters on there, you're not getting as many free resources, but your cards are going to be, and your cards are going to be a little worse, but you're like going to just be able to play the game normally. But if you go unleashed, you're risking that danger and also have way better cards, but also you don't get any more resources because you're out of counters on it. And if you put too many on there, you're going to be restrained again. So if you want to stay in unleashed, you have to really be careful about how many counters you're putting on there. So that's playing into that part of the character. The way they want you to play it is to flip between or stay restrained as much as you can. The way I like to play it is to be unleashed as much as possible because her cards are better. And I think that is part of the danger, is that the designers had a different way of playing the character than I think a lot of people do. So this actually, I don't know if is that even good of a benefit, unless I'm playing Phoenix wrong, which I refuse to believe I am. So,
but either way, it seems like looking at this at face value as somebody who's played neither, it seems kind of one-sided in which of those two abilities you kind of want to pick, right? Because what's the use really of getting a Cyclops card into the discard into your hand? Does that have anything to do with his ability? Or
that's a lot of what he does. He does a lot of pulling back from his discard pile because he has these upgrades that he puts on minions or the villain that give you bonuses for defeating them or attacking them. So like they'll make you do more damage, or they'll make it give it minus one attack, and or they'll give you a bonus benefit for killing it. And so they're one use because they're upgrades. So you put them on and then you defeat them, and that lets you get those back, which is really nice. But he has other ways of doing that. But it does three different things, and none of them are like exceptional. If you get two of them, it feels pretty good. If you get all three of them, it would feel decent. But I don't think this card does quite, there's no like whammy to this card. It's just like a couple of nice things that are pretty okay.
Interesting. Yeah, so that doesn't really help the power aspect of it much to me. But I guess with that context, it does add a couple more points to the theme of it.
Here's a question for you, Lazy Titan. If this card was not a team-up card, if it was just a basic card that you could include in the deck, would you?
So just play this card in Cyclops?
Or Jean Grey.
And it says ready Cyclops and Phoenix, and then...
Yep, everything's the same, other than there's no team-up requirement.
Probably not. If this card was free, for sure. But it's not. It was one, probably, but like getting a Cyclops card back from your hand... Like you said earlier, that's only good if you get it back cheap. Like getting a card back in your discard pile is only good if it's like a zero, or even like if you're going down in no cards or going up in cards even. Like it's a free thing you get to do. And two counters on Phoenix Force is like two resources you can spend later on, or maybe it ruins your unleashed thing. Like it's just not really that useful. And already, like we talked about, isn't super good. If you're playing Phoenix, this is probably better. I'd probably play this in Phoenix maybe, because like you want those two counters sometimes and you want to ready because she has high stats. But Cyclops, I don't think ever cares about this card. If I'm Phoenix, if I'm playing Cyclops and someone else plays this card, sure, I'll get a card back from my discard pile. But it's not something I put in my deck. It's not something I put in my deck when I play these heroes anyway, even with the team up. And like, I don't see myself changing that, even if it gets a little better.
I think if you remove the team up keyword and this was just a two cost card that had the hero action, I don't think I would put it into my Cyclops deck. I don't play a ton of Phoenix, but maybe I'd put it in Phoenix. I guess you're paying two to have two counters on, which are resources you could potentially spend later. And it might help with your flipping of your upgrade. I don't know. I just don't think this is great. And for me, it kind of goes against the essence of the team up card that you have to choose. Like if we're both at the table and I'm playing Phoenix and you're playing Cyclops and I play this card, I'm not going to pick what you get, right? I guess maybe if it's after... No, I mean, I just don't understand why I would have to choose. To me, that goes against the whole thing of the team-up card, right? Like, you should be getting both. You're teaming up. Why would you only get half the benefit? I don't know.
Yeah. Is that the rapport part of it? You know, like, the two of you communicated and who gets the benefit? I don't know.
Maybe. I want good relationship advice in my superhero cards. All right, I want to kill villains. All right, I don't want to have a group therapy session. I want to be killing Juggernaut. All right, I want this to be powerful.
Fine. It should go unsaid anyway. It's psychic rapport after all.
Yeah,
that was good.
Go unsaid. Okay, so then let's just head into final score on this card and wrap up the 4-episode extravaganza that has been Love Month 2024. I will kick it off. Psychic Rapport, the 2-cost event. For me, the art is really good. I really, really like the art. I think thematically it works really well. It speaks to what they both want to do mechanically, which again, I don't know how that relates to their lore or history of the characters outside of the game. I imagine it does because that's how they design these heroes. So the theme hits for me. It just loses a little bit for the power and the fun. And that ultimately is probably the biggest piece of it. When we did another card a number of episodes ago now, we did on Repurpose, and we talked about how the art in that card is not very good, but the card is awesome. So I docked it a few points. We're going to be kind of the inverse here. Ultimately, what matters when I'm playing the game is the card, the power and the fun of the card. Theme is nice. I like it. Art is good. I like it. But if the card isn't good, I won't play it. If the art is bad and the card is good, I will play it. For me, this is going to come in at like a 4, and the art is doing a lot of heavy lifting for me. I just don't think this is a card I include. We have spoken at length that team-up cards require a lot of setup, and they require a lot of little boxes you have to check for a payoff. And if the payoff isn't big, I'll just play a different card. Like, there's just no reason for me to stretch myself to make this work without a big payoff. So as much as I like the art, and as much as I like the thematics of what it's trying to do, it's a misfire for me. I will give it 4 out of 10, which is just below the midpoint. So just a little below average for me.
I'll also go a little below average. I'll go with 4.5. Same thing. I won't go too into detail. You already did, Boomer, but the art, heavy lifting, I do like, I'm going to throw this term around like it's been, mechanically, I like what goes into the ability. It feels a little more, like I said, baseline of what a team-up card should read into. But ultimately, it's readying, we discovered, isn't as useful as it is. You only choose one of the two to benefit. The setup already hurts all team-up cards, but the fact that this one is 2 cost hurts a lot more. So yeah, it's going to go right below. And honestly, something I'm pointing out now, I'm noticing now, it bothers me that it's called Psychic Rapport, and it's not a mental resource. That's it.
That's a good shout. I just noticed that too.
I'm going to be a little bit harsher on this card because I don't like the art as much as my cohorts, my companions, my compatriots. I'm going to give this a 3. I think it's mechanically, it is on the right track, but it doesn't get anywhere near where I'd like it to be. It costs too much and doesn't do enough at the same time. It costs too much for what it does and also doesn't do enough for what it costs. It's just not there. And also, I don't love the art on it. It's not exceptional to me. I still want to know what that face is, but it's not my favorite art in the game. It doesn't really speak to me. And so the heavy lifting that this was doing for Boom Guy and Keiko's score, this is not going to do for me. So I'll give this a solid 3. It's not the worst card I've ever seen, but I would never really play it.
At least it's a step up from Young Love.
Well, that is the end of Psychic Rapport, and that is the end of Love Month. So we hope you all enjoyed it. If you did, please let us know. If you didn't, please let us know. We welcome all feedback. You know, I think we envision ourselves doing this once in a while. We are generally a biweekly podcast. We come out every other Tuesday, but I could see us a few times throughout the year, maybe deep diving on something and doing weekly episodes like this. So if this is something you liked, please, you know, let us know somehow, leave a comment, send us an email, winninghandpodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, the easiest way to support us and share it with other people is to subscribe, follow, whatever, on any of the platforms. We are obviously free. We don't have a Patreon. We don't have a subscription model. It's just couple of dudes who love playing the game talking about it. So feel free to follow along and we will continue putting out episodes. But that is it for February 2024 and Love Month. So for me, Boom Guy, and Keiko and Lazy Titan, I will say sayonara, everybody.
My Venmo's in the description.
I don't have to say anything. You don't have to say your core.